If fear of making the wrong move in your career has kept you stuck in a job you hate, a job that makes you miserable, there might honestly be other concerns or fears that are usually driving that fear of making the wrong decision. So in this episode, I'm breaking down three things that may really be driving your fear of making the wrong move in your career. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who's ready to work in an aligned career that allows her to thrive in her zone of genius, live on purpose, and get paid a value-aligned salary. I'm your host, Dr. Tega Edwin, and I share insights and strategies to help you reach your career goals, whether you're trying to find your fulfilling career, grow your current career, or successfully job search. Let's dive in. The things I want to talk about today is to really address if you are someone who the fear of making the wrong move has been keeping you stuck in a job that you hate. I want to spend some time today really just giving you some things to reflect on. This is a session to, one, help you bring those fears to the surface, because I want to get you to a place of identifying what really does your fear mean? What are the true things you're afraid of that's under, like you might be saying, you know, it might come out as I'm afraid of making the wrong move. I don't want to go somewhere and I hate it just as much as what I'm doing now. In my experience, I found that there's usually other things that are underlying that question, that statement of, I don't want to make the wrong move. And so I want to spend today going through specifically three categories of what fear of making the wrong move comes down to give you something to reflect on, to see if you're hearing yourself in what I'm talking about. And that way, I'm going to leave you at the end of today, I'm going to leave you with a question or a few questions to reflect on and kind of prep for next week when I'll then share more strategies. Hey, Martini. Hey, girl. So Martini is currently in the current cohort of my signature program, Find Your Fulfilling Career. Martini actually found me in a live session. So those of you who are here live, let's see. Maybe you might be in the next cohort. But okay, let's jump down to when I hear someone talking about the fear of making the wrong move. And this, again, usually is even more relevant when you are currently doing work that you already know is dissatisfying, right? Like you already know that you're unhappy, you know you're unsatisfied, but you're staying in that job because you are afraid of making the wrong move. I found that that usually comes down to three things. There are three things under that fear: a lack of confidence, worry about rejection, and loss in tolerance. And for those of you who are watching the video, if you see me looking down, it's because your girl got her notes. I never show up without my notes here. So, because I want to make sure we're using this time well and wisely. But so fear of making the wrong move usually comes down to three things: lack of confidence, worry about rejection, and loss in tolerance. So let's talk about all three of those. Let's start with the lack of confidence. I know that sounds fairly self-explanatory. When you hear lack of confidence, it means, oh, don't have confidence. But how does that show up when you're doing work that you don't enjoy specifically and you stay in that job, even knowing, right? Like even knowing that you're not enjoying what you're doing, but you stay because you're so afraid of going somewhere else and it being just as bad as what you're doing now. How does that show up? Well, when you have been in an unfulfilling career for a long time, what that usually means is that you're doing work that is not aligned with who you are. It feels really toxic. It feels really, you feel unseen, undervalued, unheard, and unsupported. You don't feel like you're living on purpose. You don't feel like you're making a difference in the work, you're in the world. You're not fulfilled. And over time, the longer you stay, what I've seen happen consistently, the longer you stay in an unfulfilling career, the less, or the lower, I should say, your confidence in yourself becomes. You lose confidence in your abilities. Your self-esteem starts going down. And there's almost this question of, you've stayed so long in a place that wasn't aligned and wasn't fulfilling that you start asking yourself, am I the problem? You start wondering, maybe I really can't do anything else. Maybe I'm really not as skilled as they have said I am. But you start internalizing the messages of unfulfillment that really started. It started external, but it starts becoming internal the longer you stay in an unfulfilling career. And so what happens is you start losing confidence in yourself. It might start with losing confidence in your abilities in general as it relates to work, but it also then starts becoming losing confidence in your ability to make decisions for yourself. And as I'm saying this, I remember last week of our coaching in my program, Find a Fulfilling Career. And last week of coaching, we were talking about decision making. And, you know, I had told the women, I want you to trust your intuition, trust the Holy Spirit in you, knowing again that that might be hard. And one of the women said something that I just thought was so poignant. And she said, how can I trust myself to make decisions when the decisions I've made in the past are what got me here? And like, how do I trust myself when my decisions are what got me into this place of dissatisfaction? What got me into this place of unfulfillment? What got me into this place of confusion? How do I trust myself when my decisions got me here? I'm going to come back to that, but pausing there. Another thought that I've seen happen with women is when you were unhappy at work, and so you left and you went to do something else. And then very quickly into that something else, maybe it was 3 months in, 6 months in, 3 weeks in even, you realize that you hated that job just as much as your previous job. And so then you left again because you really want to be happy and satisfied. So you left again and you got into another job and you're unhappy again. And so you start asking yourself, if I keep ending up in these toxic workplaces, then maybe I am the problem. Like maybe I don't know how to make decisions about my career. And so you get afraid of then making a decision and moving forward. And so that lack of confidence can really happen and be exacerbated when you have been in cycles of bad jobs, or when you pause and think, oh, well, my decision making got me into this place that I am now. So how well can I even make decisions? And so I want you, again, as I shared earlier, today I'm really just wanting to bring some of these fears to the surface to see if it resonates with you. And so your fear of making the wrong move really can be tied to a lack of confidence in your own ability to make decisions about your career. It really could be that you're worried that you don't know how to make career decisions, which I'll add, and I know I said I wouldn't really share strategies, but y'all, the teacher in me can't help herself. I got to share some strategies. But what I want to offer you is, if you think about all the decisions you've made up until this point, and this is what I told the woman in our coaching session, if you think about all the decisions you made up until this point, were you making your decisions from a place of intentionality, or were you making those decisions simply to leave a place that was toxic and impacting your health? Because that's what often happens, is we get unhappy and we're like, I have to leave. And so I just jump. And so if you left because you were unhappy and you wanted to be satisfied, well, then technically you've achieved your goal. Like if you left that job, the goal was to leave that job. So you've achieved that goal. And let me then give you some more context, meaning if you didn't start with, I want to intentionally make an intentional decision about my career, then you're not going to end up in another job or opportunity that is intentionally aligned with who you are, because that was never your goal in the first place. Your goal was, I need to escape a place that is toxic. And so you left the job. So you achieved your goal. You left a place that was toxic. If you didn't leave saying, I want to intentionally find something meaningful, which there's a whole process that I share and teach about what that looks like. And Martini just said that call was powerful. So Martini knows about this process that I teach. You achieved your goal. And so I just want to offer that to you in terms of how do we make decisions, and how might you not let your unsuccessful, I will say, outcomes keep you from feeling confident in your ability to make decisions. Now I'm going to pause here because y'all, the chat is popping off and I love it. Let me see. Some things are being said here. The longer I stayed in a toxic workplace, the more I gaslit myself into thinking it was a reflection of my worth when I wasn't succeeding. It took leaving and therapy to understand that wasn't true. You better speak on it, because I've talked about that before. We do that so often where we start gaslighting our own self. Maybe it's not that bad. Maybe all jobs are just this bad. Maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe I'm being too emotional. And it's like, nah, sis. Again, trust your intuition. Trust the Holy Spirit in you. If you feel like it's time for you to go, if you feel like you're not being seen, valued, heard, and understood at work, there is some truth to that. Because what I've come to experience is that we don't just wake up and say, it's time for me to go. usually we make excuses and the dissatisfaction builds and builds and builds. And so by the time you get to the point where you're like, it's time for me to go, it is worth you pausing and really thinking about that feeling as opposed to gaslighting yourself into maybe I'm overreacting, because more often than not, in my experience, you're not overreacting. It really is that bad. Let's keep going. I feel like my blood vessels were going to burst. Felt like you were dying. And that is not an exacerbation or exaggerating. That is both. You're not exacerbating and you're not exaggerating. In the sense that when you are doing unfulfilling work, it really does feel like you are dying. The research is there, y'all. When you're doing unaligned and unfulfilling work, you're gaining weight or losing weight, your hair is falling out, you have skin issues, your relationships suffer for it, increased anxiety, increased depression, lower creativity, lower sex drive, increased rates of divorce, higher insomnia. I could keep going on. I know in a previous episode of the podcast, I've talked about the effects of being in an unfulfilling career. Y'all, the research is there. When you're doing unfulfilling work, it is literally killing you slowly. And so when you say, Margaret, when you say, Tony, when you say, I feel like I was dying, I want you to know that legit, you probably did feel that way because you probably literally were dying slowly. That is not an exaggeration. So thank you for sharing that. I recently left a toxic workplace intentionally because it wasn't aligned with my core values. So why do I still feel shame? I feel like I failed. First of all, y'all are asking such good questions. I might not get through all my points today because we got to talk about that. We got to talk about why do I still feel shame? I think that you still feel shame because we live in a society that makes women. I can't see you, so I don't know what you look like. So I'm going to speak for most of the women I work with. Women, especially Black and brown women, makes us feel like when we prioritize ourselves, we are selfish. Like we're doing the world a disservice when we prioritize ourselves. It's the reason why people shame women when they leave toxic relationships. It's the exact same reason. There's something about a woman unapologetically prioritizing herself that gets people's butts really tight. Like people can't handle it. Again, especially if you are Black or brown, people are so used to women giving to other people, prioritizing other people, pouring into other people that when we prioritize ourselves, it's hard. And so when you leave that job, that shame can come from, I didn't do something for somebody else. I didn't stay and grin and bear it in this job that was misaligned. Meanwhile, if you had stayed and grinned and bared it, you would have been, again, killing yourself slowly and not showing up in excellence, which will over time really just start to impact how you see yourself. The shame could also have been induced by the people who are around you. Because sometimes when you're in a job that on the surface looks like a good job, and you leave or think about leaving, people around you will be like, girl, you gonna leave that good job, that good money, that security? Some people out there don't even have a job. Are you really going to leave? And it's like, hold up. Whether I stay or leave, the people who don't have a job still will not have a job. So that logic does not logic. And two, I'm the one who's suffering. I'm the one who knows how this job is impacting me negatively. So thanks, but no thanks for your advice. So that's what I'm going to say about the shame piece. She's speaking my life, Black woman, brown woman. The shame is huge. Wow. Okay. Y'all keep these comments coming, but I'm going to come back to it. But so yeah, hopefully that was helpful. The second piece I will say with lack of confidence is also a fear of failure. And I think that fear of failure ties a bit into that. When you've made all these decisions in the past and it got you to where you are now, and you start to feel like maybe, you don't know how to make decisions for yourself. But also under that fear of making the wrong move is a worry about what if I go somewhere else and I don't have the skills to be successful? What if I go somewhere else and I sell myself, right? Like I sell my skill set, but I can't live up to the expectations. Or I can't thrive or learn what I want to learn to be successful in a new space. And this, again, can really be exacerbated if you have been on one path in your career for a long time. When I say long time, I'm usually talking 5 or more years. Leaving can then even feel like I've also invested all this time and energy into my current path, that leaving feels like failure. Leaving this job feels like I'm quitting, like I'm giving up, and like I failed at this job or on this path. And so there's a fear of failure in terms of fear of if I leave, I am a failure, but also fear of failure in terms of if I go to a different career, I will not be successful. And that can keep you stuck in that job that you hate. And one quick, I will say, thought I want to offer you for this one is when women often talk about that fear of failure, when you're leaving, right? The fear of I wasn't successful here, so I left. I want to help you reframe that very quickly before we move on. One thing I always like to remind women, the people I work with are mostly women, so I'm going to keep saying women, and I'm not going to caveat that again after this time. Fulfilling work by its very definition is aligned with who you are. It's aligned with your values, your interests, and your skills. And this is what I help women clarify in my program, Find Your Fulfilling Career. Your values, your interests, and skills are not stagnant. The things that were important to you 5 years ago are not the things that are important to you today. The things you were interested in 5 years ago are not the things you are interested in today. Who you are 5 years ago is not who you are today. And so if by its very definition, a fulfilling career path is aligned with who you are, then it stands to reason that as you are growing and evolving, your career needs to grow and evolve with you for it to remain fulfilling. And a lot of times we don't stop to think about that. We just stay because, and again, this is most of us, is how we were socialized. We were socialized to get a job, stay for 20 years, retire and die. That's really how we were socialized to think about work. But that is not how fulfilling work works. Because you as a person are growing and evolving every 2 to 3 years, your career has to also shift to remain aligned with who you are. And so when you think about that fear of failure because, oh, I left this path, so I must not be good or qualified. This is the visual I want to give you. Think about your career path as you climbing a mountain. However long you've been on this career path, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, you climb the mountain. And then you got to the top of the mountain. Maybe you stay there for a while. And then you realize, you know what? I don't like the air up here anymore. It doesn't smell good up here. I don't like how I feel up here. Really, essentially what we're thinking is you have changed and evolved. And you're like, I want a different view. I want a different mountain. I want to experience new things. Well, you can't just jump to another mountain. That's not how it works. For you to get to your new mountaintop, you have to climb down from the mountain that you are on. Climbing down should ideally not induce shame, because just because you're coming down doesn't mean all the effort you used to climb up has disappeared. No, it just means logically you need to come down to climb up your next mountain. And so that's the reframe I want to offer you if you've been experiencing that shame of, if I leave, I quit, I couldn't hack it, I wasn't good enough. No, it just means that you have achieved something, you have gotten to a place in your career that is no longer serving you, and you realize, I need to get to a different place in my career that serves me. And to do that, I have to come down this mountain to climb another one. And so that downward climb is a part of the journey and is nothing to be shameful about. Coming down doesn't mean that all the effort you used to climb that mountain in the first place has just somehow disappeared. You still have the skills you've learned. You still have the knowledge you've acquired. You still have the relationships you've built. You don't just lose all those things because you are transitioning. And so that's the reframe that I want to offer you if you are someone who has really been feeling that shame or feeling like a failure for wanting to pivot or transition or go somewhere else. The other thing that can be under your fear of making the wrong move is worry about rejection. So the first area I talked about was lack of confidence, and the fears that are under the lack of confidence is, you know, the fear of failure. Also one, there's fear of financial instability, right? Like the fear of making less money, but we'll circle back to that one. The other category is worry about rejection. And the two fears that kind of drive this worry about rejection is fear of starting over and fear of age discrimination. Because both of those can inherently feel like it could lead to a rejection for you if you were to start over. It could feel like you would be rejected. And so let's talk about fear of starting over very quickly. When you have been in your career path for a while, starting over can feel really, really scary because it's like, I've invested all this time, money, energy, Am I really going to be a beginner again? Am I really going to be able to learn new skills? I was like, can I teach an old dog new tricks? And so that worry and that fear will keep you, again, stuck in a job that you hate, a job that is killing you slowly. And I think what I want to offer you for this fear is consider the fact that if you've been working for any length of time, you probably have more transferable skills than you think you do. You probably have more transferable skills than you think you do. And most women have a hard time identifying their transferable skills. Your fear of starting over is really tied in your inability to articulate the skills you already have for a different context. You don't know how to identify your transferable skills, and you don't know how to articulate your transferable skills. And so your brain is telling you that for me to pivot, I'm going to have to start from the bottom again. And I don't want to do that, especially if I've been on this path for so long. And what I want to offer you, and I can tell you this because multiple women have gone through my program, Find Your Fulfilling Career, and have said the same thing. You don't have to start over. Not all the time. Let me caveat. Sometimes you might, depending on where you choose to go, but most times you probably have more skills than you think you do, and you don't have to start over. What you need to do is really understand how to identify your transferable skills. Y'all, here I go again sharing strategies. I said I wasn't going to share strategies today. I'm just going to talk about these fears so that you can reflect on them. And I see Spiritualista said, these are my fears. So grateful for this life. Okay, let me go back to just sharing the fears and then we'll come back. And the reason why I'm saying that is because oftentimes the fears, they remain quiet in the back of our head, and they subconsciously drive your decision to stay in that job that you hate. And so I want to call them to the surface so that you can identify and determine what is keeping me in this job I hate. And are these fears factual? Because your fears are always going to be valid. And I say that because your fear is simply an emotion. Fears are emotions, point blank, period, which means they are valid. But our emotions are not always factual. And so that's why I want to bring it to the surface so that you can identify if your fears are factual or not. So then the second one I talked about with that worry of rejection is that fear of age discrimination. And I've seen this one. I've even seen it currently with the woman I'm working with, where if you've been on your career path for a long time and you want to transition, it can look in different ways. One, you might be worried that people will think you're too qualified to start again. And so you're worried about how people will perceive you, seeing all the years of experience you have. And will they wonder if maybe something is wrong with you because you're trying to pivot at this stage of your career? Sometimes that age discrimination can even just look like, will people think I am too old to learn new skills, to learn new technology, to learn new processes? And so that fear of how people will view your age can also keep you stuck in an unfulfilling career because you're afraid that you'll be rejected if you try to pivot. Let me pause. Before I go to the last category, loss and tolerance, again, chat was popping off, so I'm going to pause and let me catch up with what y'all say. First of all, Martini said the transferable skills portion was a huge light bulb moment on the call for me last night. I love it, Martini. I think for a lot of women, values and the skills work we do in FYFC can feel very transformational. Tony said, feel like I let people down, relatives, friends, great colleagues. And you know what? Multiple things can be true, y'all. You can feel like you let people down while still prioritizing your health, your fulfillment, and your career success. I'm just going to move through it. Because eventually I will stop feeling like I let you down. And when you see me thriving at work, you will realize that I made the right move and the right call for myself and my own health. I think this is on my feed somewhere, but I talk actually. So one of the episodes from just this year, the core principles to find a fulfilling career in 2023. So listen to that episode of the podcast if you haven't. But one of the core principles is if you keep making career decisions based on what other people think, you will remain stuck and unhappy in your career. That's just, I'm saying it point blank, period, but listen to that episode. I think a big chunk of my shame came from worrying about how people saw me for leaving. Would I be seen as fickle, not strong enough to withstand the rigors of work life? It still haunts me. I think that's fair. And this is me, and Martini can attest to this because she's in the chat. I'm the kind of coach that I think that's fair. And I'm also going to shoot it straight with you. Yes, people might think you're fickle, but is that your business? Because here's the opposite. The opposite is, I don't want people to think I'm fickle, so I'm going to stay and try to tough it out or stick it out in this job that I hate, just because I don't want people to think I'm fickle. I want them to think I could handle it. And so essentially what you're saying is, I want people to think that I can handle the things that I don't like. That the math doesn't math. Like, no. I don't know if you, and I'm going to paraphrase, but I remember seeing a quote once where they said something like, I'm going to paraphrase, but essentially it's saying they will pretty much hate you, beat you, destroy you. And because you remain silent the whole time, they will say you enjoyed it. If somebody knows the quote I'm trying to reference, please put it in the chat. Like, staying silent and sticking it out doesn't benefit anybody. Literally, you are not healthy while you're doing that, but also you're not showing up in excellence. So the company's not even benefiting, because you're not doing your best work. So literally nobody benefits when you stay to try to not be fickle or tough it out. Like, that, it's a valid mindset, but it's not serving you. And so all you can do is literally just set it aside and move through it, because what they think about you, for the most part, girl, that ain't your business. I felt soft or unsuccessful. I felt like they could blame me for what was wrong. These are all really valid. Yep. I thank you for saying that, Dee Dee. I just realized I approach all work situations like an abusive relationship. I'm not allowed to leave unless there's an extreme reason. I grew up watching my parents suffering at work. Y'all, I want to like clap, dance, and shout right now, because you're speaking my language. Because, and that's the truth for a lot of us. And this is work we even do, again, in my program, Find a Fulfilling Career, where a lot of us are making career decisions based on how we saw our parents work. And we don't realize it until we pause and see the patterns in our own work. You are not alone. The women in my program now can attest to this. In the past, women I've worked with, a lot of us, the only template we have for how to make career decisions is what we saw our parents do. And most of our parents were in very toxic work situations, and they were grinning and bearing it. And they were working because in their generation, we just worked to put food on the table. We just worked to, we just worked to survive, right? We just worked to keep the lights on. But that is not the purpose of work, y'all. Go to Ecclesiastes. God created us to work. That is a fact. It's in the Bible. Our work is an avenue for us to be a blessing to other people. Our work is a way for us to double the talents that God has given us. And if we serve a God that created us fearfully and wonderfully, a God who did not create us to be miserable, and he created us to work, you can't tell me that he created you to be miserable at work. The math doesn't math. It doesn't add up. We were created to work. The research is even there. When people who retire too early, it shows that they have higher levels of depression and anxiety than people who keep working. Because work is a way for you to express who you are. Work is a way for you to express your talent. Work is an avenue for you to live on purpose. When you are doing work, you get to bless the people around you, impact the people around you. And so if you are in a miserable work situation, you don't get to do that. You don't get to show up in excellence. You don't get to enjoy life. You don't get to show up and be a blessing for other people. It just doesn't happen. And so I don't know how I got on this tangent, but I got there somehow, because as I always do on my live sessions, I just want to reiterate for you that you are not created to be miserable. You deserve to enjoy what you do for a living. And oftentimes, yes, that's how I got, I'm seeing the comment now. Oftentimes we are making these work decisions based on what our parents have done. And until you stop and evaluate, and that's why I'm sharing these fears with you, because I want you to hear the thoughts you might have that you might not have been listening to. Until you evaluate how you've been making work decisions, you will continue perpetuating this cycle for yourself of abusive work situation after abusive work situation after abusive work situation. Thank y'all for the emojis, because it lets me know things are resonating, and I love it. Dr. Tega is spitting fact. This is a brilliant metaphor. Okay, the mountain metaphor. Can I ask for a higher salary if I'm switching careers? Absolutely. My fear regarding age shaming is people will feel threatened and try to bring me down a few pegs. I went through this at my previous job. It might happen. And all you can do is keep trying until you end up where you want to be. this is something I've talked about with the women in my program, where if you have a goal and a desire to end up in a fulfilling career, if you truly have a goal and desire to be in a fulfilling career, then you will do what it takes to keep going until you end up in a fulfilling and meaningful career. Meaning you will not let the past rejection stop you. You will not let the past failure stop you. You will keep going until you achieve the thing that you set out to achieve. That is the determination you need to have in your career. You need to keep going until you get what you want. Because the alternative is you stay in a place that isn't serving you, that is killing you slowly. Those are your choices. I either give up and just take it because, oh, this is how work is meant to be. I'm just going to suffer. Or I leave and I keep trying until I get to an organization and a space that sees me and values me. One way or the other, if you are determined, you will do what it takes to achieve that goal. Okay. Martini said, Dr. Tega will give you the real talk in the most empowering way. I just don't know how else to be. God created me this way. So I realized over the weekend that I hold on to unsatisfying situations because I hope, that the sparks will become something more, like waiting for my father to become a dad. Y'all are spitting truth in the chat today. Hope. Oh my Lord. It's strong. Hope is a powerful thing. And we need to learn to wield hope appropriately. When your job shows you who they are, when your company shows you who they are, believe them. You saying that you hope it will get better when you have been in that space for years and you have known for years that you are unhappy is not logical. Because you have years of evidence, years of data to tell you that it will not get better. So continuing to hope that it will is futile. And I love that you said the waiting for my father to become a dad situation, because when the father, that example, I'm like, keep hoping for your father to become a dad. Let's not give up, but let's set healthy boundaries. But, you know, relationships are different. And this is kind of what Didi said earlier about the relationship piece. Y'all, your job is not a relationship. Well, I lied. It is, but it's a transactional one. Your career is not a marriage. It is not a personal relationship. It is transactional. You are offering your skill sets to a company for compensation and as a way for you to make impact in the world. We don't stick out bad jobs. We might stick out a marriage hoping it will get better as long as we are safe and it's not abusive. Sure. Right? We want it to work. Your job is not a personal relationship on that level. If it's not working, it's time to go. Like that's just, if it's not working, it's time to go because it's transactional. I give you my services. I give you my skills. I give you my talent. You pay me while also making me feel psychologically safe, while also valuing me, while also making me leverage and express who I am holistically. The moment you as a company stop allowing me to do that, it's time for me to go somewhere else because you are not the only fish in the sea. You don't owe the companies anything. You don't owe them your loyalty. You don't owe them your hope. Because these companies will play in your face straight up, especially if you are a Black or brown woman, because I bet you if somebody else who was potentially a white man came through, they will value him. They will pay him well. They will treat him with respect. Leave that place. Leave. Stop using hope to let people cross your boundaries. Stop using hope to let people take advantage of you, specifically companies. Because what happens over time is you start to resent yourself. And that's going now into my last point. You start to resent yourself because you look back and you realize, I knew for years that place wasn't right, but I still stayed. I played myself. And now you feel angry at yourself and resentful. Like that resentment becomes inward because you let them cross your boundaries. You grinned and bared it. Right? You didn't advocate for yourself. And once that resentment turns inward, it becomes extremely toxic. So I want us to wield hope appropriately. She said, girl, I'm Holy Ghost dancing. You're on fire. If I'm on fire, that means the Holy Spirit is on fire. I'm going to tell y'all that right now. Today's my 2-year work anniversary, and I'm embarrassed because I know better and have no excuse for being this miserable from the start. Okay, so it's time for us to start planning our exit. When I hope a toxic work situation changes, I'm outsourcing my nervous system to people outside of me. No wonder I felt so powerless. Exactly. Only you can regulate yourself. Only you can regulate your emotion. And yeah, it's time for you to go. And I'm saying, look, y'all, it's time for you to go. And I know that it will be scary. That's why I'm talking about fear today, because fear is so powerful. But listen, fear is an emotion, and our emotions are not facts. Our emotions are fleeting. We don't make decisions based on our emotions because they're not factual. We make emotions based on evidence. What does the evidence say is true for you? First of all, one massive piece of evidence is that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. We do not make decisions from a place of fear. Fear and faith cannot coexist. That is fact. I will argue that with anybody any day. If you are making decisions out of fear, that means you are not moving on faith. Let me talk about the last one before we run out of time. Loss intolerance. A lot of people have a hard time navigating loss. And fear can show up because we don't know how to handle our fear of loss and losing, whether it's losing situations, losing identity, losing things. And so really your fear might be one, a loss of identity. You're afraid of losing your identity. So many of us tie our identity to our career. And the problem with this is your job also, again, is fleeting. Your job is what you do. It is not who you are. And so when you tie who you are to what you do, the moment you lose what you do, you will lose who you are. Your job and your identity are not the same thing. And so it's important that you are not tying your identity to your career. Because that's the other thing that will keep you stuck in that job. Because when you are so, when your job is how you see yourself, who you are in the world, then what you start thinking is, it's not just that I'm leaving the job, it's I'm changing who you are. Who I am, sorry, right? Like leaving this job is I have to become somebody else. I have to leave who I am behind. And that can be really, really scary. So I need you to divorce your identity from your career because they're not the same thing. I'm a Black woman. I'm a Jesus lover. I love cake and sweets. I like to work out sometimes, but I like how I look when I work out. I'm a wife. I'm a sister. I'm a best friend. And I work as a professor. I work as a career counselor and coach. Those things help me express who I am. They are not who I am. And until you separate who you are from what you do, you will keep having a hard time leaving toxic work situations. Learn how to navigate loss. And this one I think is even more powerful for me as I share now, because like I told y'all, I lost my mom in 2020. The first big loss in my life. I had lost things before. And something about navigating that experience helped me see how much a lot of us are not prepared to handle loss of any kind. We don't know how to manage our grief. And so when it comes to your work, to career, because when you switch jobs, you're losing more than just the job. You can feel like you're losing identity. You might be losing the source of your financial security. You might be losing your social network and community, right? Like it can feel like you're losing so much of who you are. We need to learn how to navigate loss and especially divorce our identity from our career, because if you don't, you will keep staying in those toxic work situations. So here's what I want you to consider as a real concern, because again, all your fears are valid, but they might not be factual. So what I want you to consider as a real concern is, are you willing to spend another 5 to 8 years in that job you hate that's making you miserable? Are you ready to look up in 8 years and realize that you're still in a position that you knew 5 years ago was not right for you? Because I think that's a bigger concern, but only you can decide for yourself. Is it worth it for you to stay because you're afraid of making the wrong move, afraid of losing money, afraid of age, afraid of all these things, knowing that that place is killing you slowly? Because while you're doing that, you are on a hamster wheel of self-doubt, invalidation, and stress. And so my closing question for you is, which is bigger, your fear or your desire for fulfillment? Because until your desire for fulfillment becomes bigger than your fear, any of your fears, you'll remain unhappy at work. Until you want to be happy more than you want to be afraid, you will remain unhappy at work. And so those are the questions I want you to reflect on, because I can see that some of these fears resonated with y'all. And you have to determine which is going to be bigger, your fear or your desire for fulfillment, because they can't coexist. Whichever one is bigger will continue to drive your life experiences. As long as you keep magnifying your fear over your desire to be fulfilled at work, to do meaningful work that is aligned with who you are, you will remain unfulfilled in an unaligned job. So that's what I want to offer to you all as I wrap up today's session. Spiritualista said, why are my edges being snatched today? And look, I always like to say, if the edges are being snatched, that means God is speaking. God is using me to speak to you. And so take a moment and reflect on the message and see what needs to change for you. I know I mentioned Find Your Fulfilling Career a couple of times. If you just go to findyourfulfillingcareer.com, you will learn all about that program. But it's linked in my bio. So Find Your Fulfilling Career is my signature 8-week program where I help women who are unhappy at work get super clear about who they are. We clarify their values, their interests, their skills, and then I teach them how to research roles so they can get clarity about their top 3 potential fulfilling careers and develop their career transition plan. That is literally the entire goal of FYFC. I know I mentioned it a few times. If that resonated with you, definitely check that out. And I also want to mention one thing I didn't say, one thing about fear is a lot of times our fear is big because we don't have a plan of action. Our fear is big because we don't know how to navigate through the situation that we're stuck in. And that's why working with a coach, creating a plan is really powerful, because when you have a proven system to follow, it can reduce the volume of your fear, because now all you have to do is show up and follow the process as opposed to try to figure out the answer for yourself. I want to offer that to you as a way to navigate through fear. Okay, so Tony said, yes, God definitely spoke through you. I love it. I really do love it. So thank you for sharing that. This is brilliant. We need boundaries with ourselves. We really do. We really do need boundaries. And I think that we often forget that when it comes to our career, we actually have a say. Like, you actually get to have a say in how work goes for you. And I'm trying to be selective about my language because, you know, especially if you are of any marginalized identity, it can feel like you have no options. It can feel that way. If you are of a marginalized identity in America specifically, probably other Western worlds, but, you know, I think in Black woman, have a disability, brown woman, Asian, Hispanic, just any of those identities, corporate America will make you feel like they're your only option, your only lifeline, like you need them to survive. But I had to think about how to word it. Like, I think y'all have to recognize that everything I do comes from my lens as a Christian and a Jesus lover. And the God that I serve will never leave me without options. Like, that is just how I go through the world. And so if you are not treating me right as a company, I know that God has something better out there for me, so I will go somewhere else. It's that simple. And I know that from this place I'm coming from, it can feel like I'm just saying that, but yeah, I have turned down job offers without anything lined up before. Before my current job, I got an offer and I remember thinking, like, I was like, God, this is not what I asked you for. And so I turned down the offer with nothing else lined up. Because that's just, if you align what I'm saying and you call yourself, like, you are a Jesus lover and you walk through the world with faith, you need to apply that to your career, because God is with you in your career. He cares about your work. He cares about your career. On my Instagram profile, in the guides section, 2 years ago, I did a whole series on God and your career. I might revive that series, but you should check that out. If you're having maybe a hard time with what I'm saying, you're trying to resonate with it, but you're struggling, check out that episode on God and your career. If you go in my Instagram profile, there's those icons, the video, the guides are next to it, and you'll see a guide on God and your career. But I'm saying all that to say, don't ever let a company make you feel like you're lucky to have them, right? Like you couldn't do better. Let's see what people are saying in the comments. I didn't realize that my personal wounds were showing up in my career like that. Oh, they are. Oh, they are. Our previous hurts, our traumas. And I think that's what people don't realize is you can't separate your work from your life. If you don't have career satisfaction, you will not have life satisfaction. That is another hill I will die on. Who you are goes with you to work. So all your pains, all your history, all your beliefs impact the decisions that you make, impact how you interact with work. And so, yes, all of that stuff is showing up with you. And I see, I really want to move into entrepreneurship, but I'm so scared. Let me just pause and say here that I am not one of those pro start your own business people. I am team both can exist. Because I have a full-time job, y'all, and I have a business. Like, I don't know, like I said it briefly, but I work as a professor in a university. I've always had a full-time job. So I just want to make that stance clear of, if you're feeling called to entrepreneurship, Martini is here and Martini is in my program and going through my program, she has come to clarify that she wants to transition into entrepreneurship. Women have left my program and gotten that level of clarity, right? So entrepreneurship is perfectly valid, but this is what I say. If you go into business simply to escape a toxic job, you will be unhappy in business too, because your patterns will follow you there. We start businesses to solve problems, not to escape toxic situations.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. I hope you found it helpful. And if you did, please don't forget to leave us a rating or review on whatever platform you're listening to. Catch you in the next episode.